verses 35, thank you, Donna, verses 35 through 42. So if you'd like to follow along, the Gospel of John, chapter 1, verses 35 through 42. Again, the next day after John stood and the two of his disciples, and looking upon Jesus as he walked, he saith, Behold, the Lamb of God. And the two disciples heard him speak, and they followed Jesus. Then Jesus turned and saw them following, and saith unto them, What seek ye? They said unto him, Rabbi, which is to say, being interpreted, Master, where dwellest thou? He saith unto them, Come and see. They came and saw where he dwelt, and abode with him that day, for it was about the tenth hour. And one of the two which heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He first findeth his own brother Simon, and saith unto him, We have found the Messiah, which is, being interpreted, the Christ. And he brought him to Jesus, and when Jesus beheld him, he said, Thou art Simon the son of Jonah, thou shalt be called Cephas, which is, by interpretation, a stone. Amen. Brother Les, would you bring us the message the Lord put upon your heart?
I'm grateful to be able to be here today and share in this good place. I've been here many times before and enjoyed the worship. I'm grateful that you could be here, and I'm glad that I can be. If you keep your finger on John 1, that's where we're going to stay today. Tom and Chuck rode together to work for many, many years. Tom was a unbeliever. Chuck believed in Christ as Savior and Lord. When Tom went in the hospital, Chuck went to visit with him. And he wanted to read the Bible and pray with him. But Tom said, In all the years that we have ridden together, we've talked about all kinds of things. But there hasn't been one mention of Jesus Christ. He's not the one who can help me now. That could not be said of Andrew. Of all the apostles, Andrew is the one who consistently looked for someone to bring to Christ. See, Andrew had a working, reproducing faith. But what do we really know about Andrew? Well, if you look in your bulletin, there's an extra sheet there with the outline for today. We know two things. He was a follower, and he was a fisher of men. He was a follower, first of all, of John the Baptist. If you look at verse 35, and again the next day, John was standing with two of his disciples. Verse 40, one of the two who heard Jesus speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He listened to John speak. Look at verse 23. He said, I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness. Make straight the way of the Lord, as Isaiah the prophet said. Verse 29. The next day he saw Jesus coming to him and said, Behold, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world. As Andrew listened to John preach, he evidently heard and saw a voice of authority. It was a kind of a breath of fresh air compared to the voices of the religious leaders of his day. Here was a man after Andrew's own heart. A man Andrew could follow. It was here that Andrew learned about the Messiah. A Messiah who did not come to deliver Israel from Rome. He heard about a Messiah who had come to deliver Israel from sin. Look at verse 35. Two disciples heard him speak, and they followed Jesus, and Jesus turned. Oh, wait a minute. Again, the next day, John was standing with two of his disciples, and he looked upon Jesus, and he walked, and said, "Behold, the Lamb of God." And the two disciples heard him speak, and they followed Jesus. Andrew followed first John, then Jesus. But notice in verse 38, "And Jesus turned and beheld them following and said to them, 'What do you seek?' And they said to him, 'Rabbi,' which translated means teacher, 'where are you staying?' He said to them, 'Come and you will see.' They came therefore and saw where he was staying, and they stayed with him that day, for it was about the 10th hour." We don't know who the other disciple or the other person was, but Andrew and his friend followed eagerly because they wanted, if this was the Christ, they needed and they wanted to know him better. Jesus read those two hearts behind that simple question. And he answered simply, "Come, and I'll show you." And Scripture says that they stayed with him that one whole day. Can you imagine one day with Jesus all alone? And all that they heard, the fellowship they must have had, something else, wasn't it? Sure it was. If you look at Mark 1, you don't have to turn to it. But in Mark 1, beginning with verse 16, we have the account of Andrew becoming a disciple. And Mark says that Jesus was walking along the Sea of Galilee, and he saw Peter and his brother Simon casting the nets into the sea. And he called out, "Follow me, and I will make you to become fishers of men." And Mark tells us that they immediately left their nets and followed him. It was at that day when Andrew became a disciple, and he came under the discipline and the instruction of the Lord Jesus. That's what he had heard. Andrew was a follower of John, of Jesus, but then he was a follower behind his brother Peter. Look at verse 42. "One that you heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother." Simon Peter's brother. There never seemed to be where Andrew was free and had an identity of himself. It was almost, except one exception, almost always, it was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. Until in Acts chapter 1, where all the disciples, 120 of them, were in the upper room, you remember, the day of Pentecost. And there, Luke says, just Andrew. No more brother Peter. You know, the world has very few heroes. But there are many others who are equally able and worthy, who are somehow over in the shade. Andrew was one of those over in the shade. He was not a part of the circle, the inner circle, but Peter was. He didn't rebuke the Lord, but Peter did. He didn't cut off the enemy's ear, but Peter did. He didn't jump over the side of the boat. Peter did. See, Andrew didn't do any of those foot-in-the-mouth things that got Peter into the limelight. But Jesus chose him, Andrew. And Andrew, for us, stands as a great encouragement to the millions and millions of Christians, common, ordinary believers in Christ Jesus, who are fully equipped with spiritual gifts and abilities and talents. You know, when you read this, there are very few Christians in Andrew's position as second fiddle who could handle that situation graciously without resentment. Andrew did. But it's those few upon whom leaders depend, second fiddle. Andrew was a follower. But Andrew also was a fisher of men. And John says he first brought his brother Peter. Now, look at verse 40. And one of the two who heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He found first his own brother Simon and said to him, "We've found the Messiah," which translated means Christ. He brought him to Jesus. Jesus looked at him and said, "You are Simon, the son of John. You should be called Cephas," which translated means Peter. You know, witnessing for Christ is not mandatory nor optional, but inevitable. Let me say it again. Witnessing for Christ is not mandatory nor optional, but inevitable. From the very beginning of Andrew following Jesus Christ, he had one thing in mind: to bring people to Christ. And where did he go first? Home. He went home. And he thought of his brother Peter, that he spent hours and hours together out on the lake fishing partner. Are you bringing your family to Christ? Have you had the joy and the privilege of leading your children to faith in Christ? Or do you depend upon someone else receiving that blessing instead? You see, Andrew, first of all, brought Peter, his brother. But then look with me at John 6. John gives us the account of Andrew. The Lord is feeding the 5,000. And Andrew goes and he finds a lad. Verse 5. Jesus, therefore, lifting up his eyes and seeing that a great multitude was coming to him, said to Philip, "Where are we to buy bread that these may eat?" And this he was saying to test him, for he himself knew what he was intending to do. Philip answered him, 200 denarii worth of bread is not sufficient for them, for everyone to receive a little." One of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, said to him, "There's a lad here who has 5 barley loaves and 2 fish. But what are these for so many people?" Jesus said, "Have the people sit down." Now there was much grass in the place, so the men sat down in number about 5,000. Jesus therefore took the loaves, and having given thanks, he distributed to those who were seated, likewise also of the fish, as much as they wanted. Fill up the calculator. Can't be done. You know, the disciples like much like us. We look at things that are difficult. That we could turn into possibilities. But no, they're obstacles. And we have a tendency to be negative and look at possibilities as difficulties. Not Andrew. Andrew saw all these obstacles. How in the world is he going to feed those 12, 15,000 people? And he evidently sees them as an opportunity. There's a lad here. Now, I'm not sure that Andrew knew what Jesus was going to do. But the greatest mystery is how he persuaded that lad to give his lunch away in the first place. But by faith, Andrew took the lad and his lunch. Lord, here's this 5 loaves, 2 fish. By the way, the 5 loaves, you know, a loaf in a barley loaf then was like one of our pancakes, and the fish was like one of our sardines. You know, really a great lunch. Here's a lad. Can you imagine the eyes of that lad as he watched Jesus peel off his lunch and feed that crowd? Can you imagine the story that that lad told his parents? Mom and Dad, you'll never believe this, but I gave my lunch to Jesus and he fed thousands and thousands. Honestly, I'm not lying. But can you imagine that lad bringing his mom and dad to Jesus? Did Jesus need that lunch? No. Just like creation, the Lord said, and all of a sudden everything came about. So he could have done that. But did he need that lunch? Yes, he did. Philip said, can't be done. Not even with 200 denarii. Jesus needed that lunch to teach Philip and the rest of them that he is more than capable, with all the 12 baskets left over, he is more than capable of taking a small ingredient and satisfy a huge need. Those disciples, and you and I, need to know that lesson. Do you ignore the little things in your life? Someone has said, and well said, if God is in it, how do you put it? Little as much, if God is in it. Look at Moses' rod. How about Gideon's pitcher? How about David's sling? How about that widow with her cruse of oil? How about this lad with his lunch? And in God's hand, What happens? Miracles. There's a lad here, says Dad. Whose habits and lifestyle and attitude toward Jesus were changed. And his whole life became a sacredness as he realized for the first time his influence he was having on his young boy. There's a girl here, says a Sunday school teacher, as she prepares next Sunday's lesson, and she kneels to pray for Barb and Lynn, Adrian, Kendall, Lauren, Mary, Susie and Karen. In a class, there may be that restless, thoughtless, mischievous little boy or girl. But when you give it to Jesus, expect him to do wonders. Remember that 34, Christian leaders today, 30, 40, 50 years ago, were wriggly little boys in Sunday school class. Can you think of any? You know, as I was working on this, the first one that came to mind was Franklin Graham. And then Chuck Swindoll. And then John MacArthur. So those three at least. And you can look at all the others in the background. Now, sometime in their lives, they were wriggly little boys who were brought to Jesus in a Sunday school class. Well, last of all, when you look at John 12, Andrew brought Greeks to Jesus. Now, in verse 20, now there were certain Greeks among those who were going up to worship in the feast. These therefore came to Philip, who was from Bethsaida of Galilee, and began to ask him, saying, "Sir, we wish to see Jesus." Philip came and told Andrew. And Andrew and Philip came and they told Jesus. Jesus answered them, saying, "The hour has come for the Son of God to be glorified." Andrew was a first world missionary. For home missions, he brought Peter. Like a Sunday school teacher, he brought a lad. And in foreign missions, he brought Greeks. A pastor was preaching a series of Sunday morning messages on salvation by faith alone in Christ alone over against salvation by works. And after the series was over one Sunday morning, a fellow came up to him and said, "I have become a Christian." "Oh," the pastor said, "and which of my sermons convinced you?" And the fellow said, "Oh, not any of your sermons. But what got me to thinking is that one Sunday I was walking out of class with an elderly lady, and as she tripped on the stairs, I took her by the arm, and she said, 'Thank you.' And then she turned to me and said, 'Do you love Jesus Christ, my blessed Redeemer?'" No, he said, at that time I couldn't. So I went home and I thought about it and prayed about it and thought and prayed about it. And now I can tell you I love Jesus. See, Andrew was martyred at Patras, Greece, because he was condemned to death by the emperor because of the faith of his wife in Christ Jesus. They beat Andrew almost to death before they tied him to one of those X-shaped crosses and they left him to die. All of his life, Andrew had brought people to Jesus. And even on that X-shaped cross when he was dying, he was still bringing people to Jesus. You see, his was a faith that reproduces. And that's the same kind of faith that God has given to every one of his children. And for those of us who know Christ as Savior and Lord, are we reproducing ourselves? I volunteer drive adults and naughty kids for the Marathon County Healthcare Department in Wausau. You know what breaks my heart? Over 90% of those naughty kids come from divorced, broken homes. They don't go to church. They don't know what Sunday school is about. They have no idea who Jesus is. They don't know anything about Him. So in my car as a captive audience, I am having more fun bringing those naughty kids to Jesus. Do they all come to faith in Christ? Oh no. But you see, there's a promise that God has given to me. Isaiah 55. For as the rains and the snow come down from heaven and do not return there without watering the earth and making it bare and sprout and furnishing seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be which goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me empty. Without accomplishing what I desire and without succeeding in the matter for which I sent it. And I hear the Apostle Paul say in 1 Corinthians 3:6, I planted, Apollos watered, but God was giving the growth. Are there any adults and boys and girls here in Tomahawk who know nothing about Jesus? Yeah, there are. I've met some of them. Almighty God is waiting for us to say, Lord, I will bring people to Christ one at a time. Is there anyone here today who will pray, Lord, by my will and heart, I will bring someone, people to Christ one at a time? Anyone? Our Father, we thank you for sharing you with other people is inevitable when our hearts ache for those around us who do not know you. Adults like us or young teenagers or all the little ones below that. We thank you most of all that we have the only message that will make the difference in these lives. And we thank you that when we pray that we will bring people to you, you not only give us the opportunities, but you give us everything else that we need to share you with those people who are breaking our hearts. And I pray that you would really get through to us to take a good look at the people around us who do not know you. Those in my neighborhood, those in the neighborhood of each one here, in covenant with you, that in that grace and the opportunities you give, we will bring people to you one at a time. We pray today in Jesus' name. Amen.